Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with Holly Bunn. Holly, are you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Oh, we got you now. There you go.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Career Talk with Holly Bunn. I'm actually in a remote location today, so sorry about that delay. I am here in sunny South Florida on the Key Biscayne today, and I am here to talk about Career Talk, a place where I am here to help make the job search just a little easier. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Holly Bunn. I am a resume writer, a LinkedIn profile writer, a career coach, and I've worked for some of the top staffing companies in the world, designing and implementing recruiting strategies and working directly with recruiters. So I have about 20 years of experience, so I'm here to help share some of that experience with you to help make the job search just a little easier. At the end of the show, I will be giving you one of my best resume tips, and I'll also be taking questions during the show about midway. If you want to ask a question, you have to call in by dialing 347-857-1557. The chat lines are also open. You can ask your question online via the chat. My co-host today, Mr. Anderson Curry, thank you so much for being my tech support. Anderson, are you there?
That's what I'm here for, Holly. Not a problem.
Thank you so much. Anderson is here to make sure the show runs smoothly, and often I'll ask him to comment and chime in on some of my subjects here. So, and whenever you feel like it. Okay, so last week we talked about the four phases of the job search, and if you want to catch up and figure out and know what those four phases of a successful job search are, listen to episode 5. You can find that on blogtalkradio.com/Holly Bunn and tune into episode 5. During that show, I gave out some tasks, and those tasks include preparing for the job search by looking and reviewing your resume, and LinkedIn profile to be sure you are ready with a moment's notice within 15 minutes to either apply for a job or direct someone to your profile. Connect with those folks on and offline that you want to either work for or work with. You can connect with those on LinkedIn and network after work, which is a group on LinkedIn. Listen to the show because I go into detail about how to find those on and offline connections. Then sell yourself by buying a book called Boost Your IQ, and then landing the job, pull a credit report and a criminal report to see what potential employers will see about you. I go into detail about all of these tasks that you would need to help you prepare for a successful job search. Again, that is episode 5, and feel free to listen to those archives. So today's show's topic, we are going to jump into the deep end of the pool on the four phases. So I'm going to talk about the prepare stage, which is preparing your resume and a strategy for your job search, preparing your LinkedIn profile. And we're going to specifically focus on resume tips and LinkedIn profile tips. I'm going to give you some of my best tips to help get you ready. So let's jump right in. Let's start with resumes. When preparing your resume for the job search, a well-written resume and a well-positioned resume is not going to be effective unless you have a job search strategy. And when I say job search strategy, that means knowing what position you're applying for, knowing what position you're targeting. If you have no idea, you have to figure that out first. And saying, I'll take any job is not a job search strategy. Applying for jobs that are open just because they're open is not a job search strategy. It's equivalent to casting a net in the ocean and kind of seeing what you get. If you're actually fishing to catch the big fish, you might not catch it with a net. you catch it with a fishing pole, fishing in specific waters using specific bait. We're fishing today, so I'm going to have a lot of fishing references on Key Biscayne. So I take the fishing pole approach to job search. That means knowing what jobs you're applying for. Figure out, are you happy with your current current career? If not, what career are you wanting to go to? Are you happy with your current position? If not, what position do you want to move to? What position are you looking to land? Are you changing careers? You have to figure that out before you start applying for jobs, because you'll waste time if you don't know. You'll waste time applying for jobs that either you don't either qualify for, that you're not interested in, or that just are not a good fit, right, for what you want to do in the future. So that's number one, all right? Next, you want to format your resume with your best skills related to the job that you're applying for. And you want to create a value proposition for those skills so that potential employers can be intrigued and inspired to buy or hire you, right? And creating those value propositions include what I call answering the so what question. Most resumes list out, and this is not a fault to anyone, but this is just a commonly used practice that is not good. But most resumes just list out most often job descriptions. You know, I can do this, responsible for, duties include. That is a big so what. Telling me about the job that you've performed doesn't really inspire me to look beyond your name on a piece of paper, right? Because everyone does their job, otherwise they wouldn't have a job. You need to create a value proposition that says these three things. People are valuable in their companies when they do these three things. They make money for the company, they save time for the company, and they bring new ideas to the company. When you can illustrate these three things on your resume, you then become valuable. You answer the so what question. I was responsible for A, B, and C. The result was I accelerated $1 million. The result was I saved 10 days in the process. The result was I introduced new software that became a standard for the company. Do you see how the so what question is answered when you actually create a value proposition on your resume? That's the approach that I take when I write resumes. You want to list accomplishments that tell an actual story, right? Listing accomplishments with just metrics is a big so what, right? You want to answer the so what question by creating the story around those metrics. Tell me the circumstance that created that accomplishment. Tell me how you did it. That's what you want on the resume, to get the person curious who's reading it to say, wow, I'd like to know more. Let me call and find out more. Okay? You want to list a technical inventory. Platforms that you've worked on, online software that you've worked on, apps that you've worked on, mobile platforms, even knowledge sets around technology. Do you know SDLC? Do you know, the four phases of implementing technology? You know, any of those things that are related to technology that have to do with the job that you're applying for, keyword, applying for, you want to list that on your resume in its own section. Next, you don't want to go back more than 10 years on your resume. It's a selling document, folks, not a telling document. It's a sell-all, not a tell-all. Only 10 years. We don't need you to go back to 1995 on your resume. That's 20 years, right? So we're only going back to 2005, because today is 2015. So don't go back beyond 2005 on your resume, okay? Next, you want to upload a text document when you're applying for applicant tracking systems. Text documents are readable by databases. You do not want to upload PDF files. This increases your chances of getting rejected because it's an unreadable format. Anybody if anybody knows about PDF files, they're image files, and they're unreadable by many applicant tracking systems. There are some that read PDF files, but that's a recent development. So you don't know which ones read them. Don't take the chance that you get the one that can't. and it'll reject your file because it's an image file and it can't read keywords. So a text document in Word is what you need. That removes all formatting. Ditch any objective statements that are on your resume.
Let me jump in for a second.
Sure.
I'm sorry. How do they know if they're applying to an applicant tracking system? So I'm sure some of the listeners may not even be familiar or understand what applicant tracking systems are.
Sure. Applicant tracking systems are usually when you apply at a core company website, if they ask you to copy and paste your resume into a job application online, that is a clue that you are in an applicant tracking system. You want to use that text format when they ask you to copy and paste. When they ask you to upload your resume by attaching a file, you can absolutely attach a Word document. Do not attach a PDF. Again, that is an image file. You do not want to do that. So that's the clue, right? So if you're asked to email it, submit it, anything like that, you're fine. When you apply online to a job and they ask you to copy and paste your resume, you are entering into an applicant tracking system. That was a good question. Thanks, Anderson. So I was talking about objective statements. If you have one on your resume, ditch the objective statement. That is so very 1984 and it holds no value. You want to replace that with a professional summary. Describe your skill set around creating value. Describe how many years of experience you have. Describe how, your accomplishments, how you make money, how you save time, how you've brought new ideas to the company. You also want to use bulleted lists instead of paragraphs. Nobody reads paragraphs. It is very hard on the eyes. Keep them at two-line bulleted lists, no more than two lines on a bullet. You then want to ensure that you list dates in years and not months. So I don't need to know that you started a job in May 2005. 2005 is just fine. If it's under a year, you just list that year that you worked at a company. And then here's the big one. Folks, if you have a degree, list it with the year that you attained that degree. If you have a high school diploma and no degree, list your high school diploma and the year that you obtained that high school diploma. A lot of people say that they don't like to put the year that they obtained their degree, especially those over 40 and anyone under 25. They often say, I don't want to get discriminated because of my age. Folks, you will get excluded if the applicant tracking system is looking for someone that has had a degree for more than 10 years. This is actually a sourcing strategy for companies to say, I want someone who's had a degree and has applied that knowledge over time, not someone that just graduated. If you do not include a year that you obtained a degree on that degree, you get excluded in the applicant tracking system search results. In the same way, recent college grads, companies look for you. They seek you out. They say, hey, it's 2015. I need to find people who just obtained a degree in the last year. So if you obtained a degree between 2014 and 2015, I want you. And they actually try to search you out. If it's not on your resume, you will not be included in those search results. And lastly, if you have a high school diploma and or a bachelor's degree, and it says must have a high school diploma, if you feel like you don't have to list your high school diploma and those are the job requirements because, hey, you graduated 20 years ago, if you don't list it on your resume, it will exclude you in the search results because it can't find it on the resume. The applicant tracking system assumes nothing. It is a fact-based system that says, you want me to look for high school diploma? That's what I'm looking for on resumes. If it's not there, I'm going to exclude it in the search results. I hope that makes sense. Feel free to press 1 when it's time to ask questions. Again, if you're online and you're listening and you want to dial 347-857-1557 and press the number 1 if you want to ask a question because I'll be taking questions in about 5 minutes. So next, I'm going to jump right into the LinkedIn stuff. So preparing your LinkedIn profile for your job search. Now that you have your resume together, because you should prepare your resume before your LinkedIn profile, that would give you a greater advantage. I'm not saying don't create a LinkedIn profile if your resume is not ready. I'm just saying it's easier to create your LinkedIn profile if your resume is complete because things from your resume can be put onto your LinkedIn profile. Now, folks, of your resume, and it does not replace your resume. Your LinkedIn profile is a companion to your resume. It is another marketing tool in your job search toolkit to attract people to you. And ultimately, they want to land on your LinkedIn profile and call you for more information and say, hey, do you have a resume? Or, hey, I'd like to ask you more about this thing that you did that's on your LinkedIn profile. You want to create curiosity with all of these documents and generate a phone call. At the end of the day, the purpose of the resume is to get to the interview. At the end of the day, the purpose of the LinkedIn profile is to get the connection via phone or email or something. For them to go beyond landing on your profile, you want them to have an action of contacting you, okay? So how do you prepare a successful LinkedIn profile? Okay, number one of the very quick things that you can do today, right now, to help you, if you haven't already, is to tailor your headliner with keywords for the job or the career that you are targeting. You can get these from your resume, right? Some of the keywords should be included on your resume. And if not, think about these four things: the job title that you're targeting or the job title that you have. The second one should be your strongest skill set related to that job, the strongest skill set that will quantify that job. And then the fourth thing will be the degree or the education or the technology that is strongest according to that job. So an example would be help desk support, Microsoft Windows 8 platform, Windows migration, and MCSC certification. Those four things could be put on a headliner as opposed to help desk analyst at Comcast. Now, which one creates curiosity? Help desk analyst at Comcast or help desk support, Windows 8 platform, Windows migration, and MCSC? Do you see the difference? Hopefully you do, in the two headliners. Not only will that second example be optimized for the LinkedIn search engines, which search the headliner, which means that little space just below your name, they search there first for keywords. It will also help you in the search results for everyone that's a help desk analyst. There's 50 of them. What makes the difference between all 50? Well, the person that says, I can do Windows 8 migrations. That's the person that could potentially get the click faster than all the other people that let a default to the job title. Next, you want to complete a summary, okay? Some of you don't have a summary on your LinkedIn profile. This is the second place that the search engines look for keywords on LinkedIn. So create a summary. You can use your professional summary on your resume to collate the summary on your LinkedIn profile. Use bulleted lists again. Paragraphs, people don't read those. People breeze LinkedIn profiles the same way they breeze over a LinkedIn over a resume. Takes recruiters less than 10 seconds to read a resume to determine if they want to call and ask more questions. Well, it's about 30 seconds on a LinkedIn profile, okay? So these big, long, drawn-out paragraphs, you want to know. You want to do bulleted list with keywords because ultimately you want to get in the search results, get the click, get the call, okay? That's the whole goal at the end of the day. Next, you want to include all jobs that you've had. Now, here's the exception. Not the rule for resumes, the exception on LinkedIn, include every job you've ever had. The reason why, you can go back 20, 30 years if you want. The reason why is because it helps you to make more connections. If you have what LinkedIn does in a smart way, it says, if you've worked at this company, I'm going to suggest other people that have worked at this company that you should connect with. You know, I've had a lot of people tell me that they've connected with people they haven't spoken to in years, because they put this job that they worked, you know, 15, 20 years ago on their LinkedIn profile, and it started suggesting people, and they were looking for certain people, and they connected with them simply because of listing that job. So list all of your jobs, go back as far as you want on your LinkedIn profile, and be sure to include job descriptions, only one to two, some of the highlights. You don't need to put the whole job description on LinkedIn the same way. Create curiosity, create questions. You want to also list skills and education. Here you can list all of it, all the classes you've ever taken. If you're currently in school, list some of the highlights of the classes. You also want to make more than 500 connections. There's something that LinkedIn likes about 500. I can't explain it. I have asked LinkedIn directly, what is the deal with 500 connections? They have no answer. I guess that's proprietary. But they like you to have 500 connections because you start to get placed higher in the search results when you do. Not only that, but it also opens your network. The more people you're connected to, the more people that will see you in the search results and potentially see you and make a call. You want to get involved on LinkedIn beyond just creating your profile because the squeaky wheel gets the oil. Post status updates that are useful information, you know, useful articles. Don't post the same stuff you post on Facebook, right? But if it's going to be a meme, let it be related to the job or the industry that you're in. If it's going to be a funny picture, let it be related to the job or the industry that you're in, okay? Leave Facebook for all the funny stuff between your friends. LinkedIn is going to be all the stuff that you want either for your colleagues, potential employers, or potential investors if you have a business. And then tailor your LinkedIn connection messages when you make those connections too. Don't let it default to the template that they give you because that decreases the probability of you actually making that connection. People like to see personalized connection requests. So if you meet someone at a networking event or at a party or at the grocery store, you want to tailor that message, hey, it was nice to meet you. I'd like to connect with you on LinkedIn. Hope you're open to the connection. Sincerely, Holly. Really simple. You don't have to create a whole paragraph. Just remind them of how you connected or know each other. You have people in common. You went to the same school. You went to the same church. You went to the same, you know, anything. You worked at the same company, whatever. Just make sure you tailor that connection request. Okay. So at this point, I've covered how to prepare your LinkedIn profile and your resume for the job search. If you want to ask questions, you can push the number 1 on your phone in order to get into my queue, and I will see, and you can ask those questions live. If you're online listening, you do have to call in to 347-857-1557 and push the number 1. You can also type in the chat room any questions that you may have. So I don't see anyone in the host queue. Does anyone have any questions at the time, at this moment? I don't see anyone pressing the number 1. Anderson, I've been talking a lot. Do you have any questions or any comments? I guess not. Okay. So one thing I want to mention about the job search is that the time to apply for a job is now. And we are coming into the summer months when hiring kind of slows down a little. Hiring is cyclical. And that means it has phases. It has cycles, okay? And that cyclical event usually happens in the first quarter, the beginning of the second quarter, and the last quarter of the year. Kind of the downturn on the cycle is the second part of the second quarter, and then the summer months. And think about it: people are on vacation. People are not in the office a lot. They're redoing their budgets in June, trying to figure out what they're going to be doing next year. So hiring doesn't happen a lot when people are realigning. When those budgets become new, like in January, they want to put their hires in January to get the most from that hire, a whole year's worth of service. So that hiring starts for January, starts somewhere around September, October. They start putting those job postings out there because from the time you apply for a job to the time you sit in the seat, that can be up to 8 weeks. 2 months, people. And really, from the time you apply for the job to the time you start on your first day, that's around 2 months. And it can take that long. So think about the time you want to land a job and back away from that date by 2 months. So if I were applying for a job today, March 28th, that means I probably would not start that job until May 28th. So March, April, May. Something to think about and consider when you're doing your job search. All right, so task for the week.
And hey, Holly, I did have a comment for you. Sorry about that. I was watching the control board. My question real quickly was you know, a lot of our listeners are still on the fence about LinkedIn and what's it all about. One of the things I can say is, haven't you noticed lately that they've actually been posting in the news feed open jobs related to what's in your title or in your current or previous job title, positions that's open within the local area? Have you seen that also?
Oh, absolutely. LinkedIn has smart algorithms. They're all over your profile. If you put the more keywords you put in your profile, the more they give you useful information. So, yes, it will show in the news feed kind of first all the jobs that could apply based on your profile. It'll put it in the margins. When you land on the jobs tab on LinkedIn, it'll put a whole page worth of jobs based on your title, based on your profile, and based on the keywords that you put in there. Absolutely. Every time
and
you land on LinkedIn, it'll suggest things for you.
And one of the even better things is when you click on that position, so say, since I'm a digital media manager, it showed me openings in the South Market that had, for digital media managers. Once I clicked on the opportunity, it even shows you who the recruiter is. So if you haven't connected with that recruiter, it gives you the opportunity to connect with whoever posted it or the recruiter associated with that account. And I think that's one of the things that's new to LinkedIn as of late. Or am I off on that?
No. Sometimes the very good recruiters, which I love these guys, very good recruiters will put their profile on the job posting because they're open to people connecting with them. And in episode 2 that you can listen to if you go to my archives, I talk about how to follow up on your job applications or when you apply for a job using LinkedIn. And connecting with those recruiters is one way. Okay, so when you apply for that job, and the recruiter's name is there, you've just struck gold because you're directly, you'd see who the person is that's responsible for finding the needle in the haystack right there. You don't have to go digging through all the connections to try to figure that out. Again, episode 2, I talk about how to follow up on job applications on LinkedIn using these recruiters' profiles or connecting with these recruiter profiles. I have so many success stories for my clients and other clients that show just by saying, hey, I applied for this job, want to make the connection, if you have any advice on how I follow up. You know, some recruiters give down to the detail about who to call, or they'll find, you know, the person's application and say, hey, I pulled your application, great, let's talk. Simply because you connected on LinkedIn, and that might have never happened if you didn't connect on LinkedIn. So absolutely, LinkedIn is a very powerful tool in the job search. So I have about 2 minutes left in the show. I want to give people a task for the week. And so a couple of things that you want to do to help you that you might see immediate results from. So on your resume, if you have an objective statement, please remove it and replace it with a professional summary. That will get your resume into 2015 if you have that objective statement. For LinkedIn, I want you to tailor your hire with keywords for the job or industry that you seek. This will help you rank faster and higher in the search results on LinkedIn instead of letting it default to your job title. My resume tip of the week, include earned degrees and certifications. If they have not been earned, do not include them, but include training and courses that you've completed related to that degree if they are within the last year. Unfinished education, which is anything that's less than a year away from including. So if you are a year away from completing that degree, you can list it and say anticipated graduation December 2016 or, you know, January 2016. If you are more than a year away, it could send the wrong message that you start things and you don't finish them. Now, that may not be the case, but your mouthpiece is not there on that piece of paper to scream and say, hey, I'm about 2 years away, okay? Only include earned degrees and completed coursework related to degrees. You will do yourself a disservice if you include degrees that you started 5 or 10 years ago and you haven't finished them. For the sake of listing out, hey, I went to college, again, that holds no value. What's valuable is, have you taken any courses in the last year related to that degree? Okay. My ending thought is that resumes and LinkedIn profiles should be ready before you need them. Daily maintenance and preparation for those resumes and LinkedIn profiles will ensure that you have a smoother transition whenever you are ready to make a change. Thank you all for listening and tuning in. Your questions can be sent to Holly at Ms. Resume Help. And thank you so much for calling in. Have a great day. Happy Saturday.